Okay, we're going to get started because you all are here on time, and I like to start on time. So my name is Dr. Diane Adams, and I am the founder. Well, I should take that back. I am the founder of the Health Informatics Information Technology Group section. But in this room today, I am the president of the Conference of Emeritus Members. And it's an honor to be the president of the Conference of Emeritus Members. And I'm glad that you all came. I was hoping that more CEM members would show up. And I've been working with the APHA staff to make sure that our sessions are more pronounced in the catalog, in the program booklet. So I'm going to be talking today about understanding robotics in home healthcare. And our second speaker, Dr. Doswell, is going to be talking about, what are you going to be talking about, Dr. Doswell? You said you were going to tweak some stuff, so.
Artificial intelligence.
When he told me he was going to tweak his presentation, then I said, well, I guess he's going to change it from what we had submitted from the abstract. And so let's just get started. I have no conflict of interest to disclose. And understanding home health care. So first we need to know what is home health care. And as I said, this presentation was geared toward the Conference of Emeritus Members. And those members, I don't know whether you know, when you have been in APHA for 40 years or more, then you become an Emeritus Member. And your first 40th year, you get free registration. So looking in the audience, you all are too young for that. So how many years have you been a member of APHA, do you know? 14. Oh, congratulations. That's great. And you? You're a new member? That's why we have to, new members, we always try to encourage them to belong to our section. And we're going to get you too. Our conference next year is going to be in Chicago, Illinois, which is my home city. I grew up there. I was raised there. But I think the problem may be is that a lot of the seasoned people, the elderly people, are not aware of what we're doing. So we're going to work hard. As the president, I've only been the president for 2 years. And we're going to have to work much harder in terms of getting them to our sessions to hear this. Because this is the last year Dr. Renee Jael, well, in 2012 he was president, and that's when I was voted in as president in 2012. And in 2013 he had done the two oral sessions. So what we do initially, just to give you some logistics, we usually have a business meeting on Sunday from 10 to 11:30, and this is with the emeritus members. And anybody can come if they're interested. And then we are allowed two oral sessions. So yesterday we had our first oral session, and we had more people in the room, so I'm so happy. And I was a little surprised that we had so many seasoned people in the room. And our topic was cybersecurity and information. Can you believe that? And so we had the senior people in the room, and they were from the VA and from academia, and they really liked that topic. And I tried to choose a topic this year that would be more interesting. Last year we had two topics which were done by Dr. Renee Jael, and the room was packed. But I think it was a little, not to say anything about the deceased, but it was a, well, it could have been better. One was on casino gambling, and I guess that's a good topic, right? And the other one was on addictive behavior and so forth. And so I want to get have a topic that will entice the younger people such as yourself to come. Because we all have to get old, and we all one day must take care of our parents or grandparents, right? So it doesn't make sense to not know what's going on. So a topic such as this, like you were telling me when you came in, that you work with, should be very interesting. So This is the second topic this morning session on home healthcare robotics. Now, what is home healthcare? So home healthcare takes care of a wide range of care services if you're injured or you have illnesses. And when we think about it, when we do home healthcare, it can be less expensive. You know, if you're taking care of your loved one in the home, it can be less expensive. Not only that, today many of the elderly people, they have long-term care. Now let me ask a question. How do you all have long-term care insurance? What about you? Be honest now. You don't have long-term care insurance? Why not? Do you have insurance?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so let me ask this question. Why did you decide to get long-term care insurance? Because you look very young. So what was the reason? Right, but that's a good answer. But did you think about your age?
No, I thought about my family history.
Okay, because my husband and I both signed up for long-term care insurance over 20 years ago. And my husband's a few years older than me. And so my insurance, long-term care insurance, was less than his. And his was more. So even today, it's more. You know, so if we both were to sign up today, the long-term care insurance would be, very expensive. We probably couldn't even afford it. No, really. So this is something that you might want to think about. You said Mary, right?
Ruby.
You might want to think about it, Ruby, is to think about long-term care insurance. And then what I'm going to say to you is don't stop paying for your long-term care insurance, okay? We have it debited from our checking account, and it comes out every month. I think it's Prudential or something like that. But it's very important. And the way long-term care insurance, like you were saying, that your family, you know, I heard you say they have several health concerns. Well, the way long-term health care insurance works, one of the benefits is that if you get sick, then they will come to your house and take care of you. And if when I said they, the company, if you have contracted out, or your family members, it'll pay for your family members. So that's a good thing, and I like that. So it could be your daughter, your son, your aunt, your cousin, and they would get paid, and I like that. So long-term health insurance is very important. So what is the goal of home health care? The goal of home health care is to treat an illness or injury. Okay? And home health care helps you get better. The people can be independent, self-sufficient. And examples of skilled home health services include, and I don't have to tell you, Ruby, you worked in a facility, wound care, patient and caregiving education, intravenous or nutritional therapy injection, are monitoring serious illnesses and unstable health status. And some examples of serious illness could be, what about a kidney problem? What are other examples you can think of, Ruby, in terms of serious illnesses?
Alzheimer's.
Okay. Stroke. Yes. Tell me your name again.
Jennifer.
Yeah. Oh, I have a cousin named Jennifer, so I like her. Sorry, Jennifer and Ruby. Okay, so what should you expect from home health care? Of course, the doctors gives the orders, and once the doctor refers you to a home health care service, then the home health care agency schedules an appointment and come and talk to you. Now, what I am giving you today are instructions from Medicare. You know, CMS, Center for Medicaid and Medicare Services. And I never understood why it's called CMS, because it says the Center for Medicare and Medicaid. There's two M's in there. So that was always mind-boggling to me. But, you know, I used to work for the government, so what can I say? What should you expect from home health care? The home health agent staff will talk to your doctor about your care and provide frequently updates. So it's important that home health staff see you as often as the doctor orders. So what are some of the examples of home health, the home health care staff? Check what you're eating and drinking. Okay, I think that's very important, all right? Because a lot of times, if we have diabetes, people don't follow, you know, their diet. If we have hypertension, they don't follow their diet. And check your vital signs. Your vital signs are very important: blood pressure, temperature, heart rate, and breathing. And check what prescriptions you are taking. All right. And ask if you're having pain. A lot of times people have pain and they don't know how to describe it. So when I was practicing medicine, and just to tell you a little bit about me, I'm a retired military physician. I retired from the United States Public Health Service. And most people don't even know what the United States Public Health Service. Are you familiar with the U.S. Public Health Service? Okay. No, when I say that, that's why I say I'm a military physician. Actually, I'm a Commissioned Corps officer. And we get the same benefits that the military get. So if I say I retired from the U.S. Public Health Service, they'll say, what's that? They always ask me, what is that? And I say, well, you know, I give them an explanation of what it is. I tell them that I work for the Surgeon General, the number one public health doctor in the United States. I tell them that the U.S. Public Health Service is under the auspices of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and they still don't get it. And so when I say I'm a retired military physician, they get it. So, but I retired from the U.S. Public Health Service as a Commissioned Corps officer. My background is family medicine, preventive medicine, public health, and also after I retired, I went back and got some certification in home board certification in Homeland Security. I guess I was really tired, right? And but in terms of pain, when I was practicing, I used to ask my patients, what is the level intensity of your pain? And I would say, and they would say, what do you mean, Dr. Adams? I said, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is it? I said, 10 being the height, okay? And I said, so they would say, well, 6. And then I would, you know, ask them, you know, like, where is the pain? You know, is it... does it hurt when you when I press, you know, or if I use a pen, is it worse? So I would ask them the intensity of the pain, and I think they would get it there if I didn't ask what was the intensity. So pain is very important. Now I also had some patients who had pain and couldn't tell me. They said, I'm in pain, and I said, well, you're in pain. Well, how are you in pain? I don't know, Dr. Adams, it just hurts. So you do have patients like that. Then you want to check for safety in your home. A lot of times, you know, people who are receiving home health care, they may have all kinds of boxes around, papers around, or even furniture. You know, I remember I went to one client's home and he had his desk here, his sofa here, the TV, you know. And I said, well, how can you get around? Because he didn't have enough space to move around. And that's very important. You know, in your home, there are many accidents, and people don't realize that. So they teach you about care so you can take care of yourself. They coordinate your care. This is very important, to work with the doctor and the nurses. Now let's talk about aging statistics. You know, we're all going to get old. I'm not old enough for Social Security yet. You old enough for Social Security, Ruby? You got a long, how many years you got? About 50? You know, and Jennifer, you probably have about 40. And Dr. Doswell, you have about 35. You know, something like that. Oh, no, you're not the, don't let him fool you. But aging Statistics is very important. And according to Health and Human Services Department, there will be 72.1 million Americans over the age of 65 by 2030, which is nearly double today. And according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the country will need 70% more home aid jobs by 2020. And one of the problems today in home health care, and Ruby, you can tell me, there are not enough people to take care of people. Am I correct? Speak up. There are just not enough people to take care of people in the home system. So this is where robots can start to fill in the gaps, okay? So robots can be used in the home to do the following. Clean. You can have a robot that clean your kitchen, cook, garden, keep you company. Okay, if you're lonely, Jennifer and Ruby, the robot can say, Miss Ruby, Miss Jennifer, what shall we do now? And if you don't have dementia or Alzheimer's, you would probably say, let's go outside. Or can you get me a drink of water? All right? And robots can remind you to take your medicine. One of the biggest things that I have found when I was treating patients is that they forgot to take their medicine. They would come to me and I would ask them, I said, did you take your medicine today? Oh, Dr. Adams, I forgot. I said, what do you mean you forgot? I said, didn't we go through this? And I would make them, I guess I was an unusual doctor. If you saw me, you had to have like a card, and you had to have all your medicine on this card, the name, the dosage, and how often you take it. And if you didn't have that, really I would get upset. And I told him, I said, that's just practicing preventive care. And so when they would come to me, the first thing we'll say, Dr. Adams, I got my card in my wallet or my purse. Yes, 5 minutes, okay? All right, so remind them to keep track of their glasses. How many use your eyeglasses? You don't have to be old to lose your eyeglasses. Ruby, you don't wear glasses. You wear contacts? Okay, but you could have a pair of glasses, eyeglasses, right? Okay. So, Jennifer, have you lost them or misplaced them?
No.
You are? Oh, well, I'm not. And so I have about 5 pair of glasses, okay? Assist in the event of a fall. And robots are being used for a wide range of applications in healthcare, including drug manufacturing, moving inventory in medical supply facilities, and as I said, monitoring patient vitals and carrying out surgeries. So in summary, robotics is improving its potential for improving the quality of patient care. It's making it more sustainable and more affordable. And that concludes my session today. We can take questions now or wait until Dr. Dodds will finish. What would you like? Since there's not many people here, you can ask me any questions now. You want to ask questions now? You wait till Dr. Doswell? Okay. So our next speaker is Dr. Japheth Doswell. And this is a young man that I'm very proud of. I mentor him. You know, he calls me Aunt Diane, Aunt Di. But he has his own company. He's the president and CEO of Juxtopia LLC. But he has received grants from the National Science Foundation, from the Department of Defense, from the National Institute of Health. And more recently, I'm so proud of him that he has received an award. And I decided to read up on your award.
You did?
Yes. And they only gave the award to 3 companies.
That's right.
Am I correct?
The whole nation.
And the whole United States of America. So when he comes to the podium, after he, I want him to tell you the award that he received, because I don't want to mess it up. But I am so proud of him, because as a black male, a minority, and only 3 companies receiving this award in the nation, I mean, it's history. And I'm so honored to honor him and to for him to receive this award. So let's hear from Dr. Doswell.